So today I want to talk about the interaction of blue radiation and green radiation in relation to growth modulation and quality attribute modulation of lettuce grown in indoor hydroponic systems. Last year I presented research where we found increasing the proportion of green radiation to blue radiation increased leaf expansion and biomass accumulation of two lettuce cultivars and kale. But one question remained. We were wondering whether the promotion of growth was a result of increasing green radiation, decreasing blue radiation, or both. So we set out to do a follow-up experiment in the controlled environment lighting laboratory at Michigan State University, focusing on the interactions of the three main wavebands, green, blue, and red. We used the deep flow technique hydroponic system and grew red leaf lettuce rosé. The photo period was 20 hours, and we kept the total photon flux density the same at 180 micromoles from 4 to 800 nanometers. And we grew plants at a constant temperature of 22 degrees Celsius. We used deionized water, supplemented with a water-soluble fertilizer, to reach a pH of 5.8 and an EC of about 1.8 millisiemens per centimeter. The CO2 concentration was at the ambient level of about 400 ppm. We delivered a total of 9 indoor sole-source LED lighting treatments in the lab, as well as a greenhouse control under high-pressure sodium lamps. For the indoor LED treatments, first on the top left, we have red light alone at 180 micromoles. And then we substituted part of red radiation with 20, 60, or 100 micromoles of green blue radiation. In addition, at each of the blue photon flux densities from 0 to 100 micromoles, we substituted part of red radiation with 60 micromoles of green radiation. And that's the bottom four indoor treatments. In addition, we also delivered a warm white LED treatment indoors. These are the red leaf lettuce rosé grown under all the 10 different lighting treatments. And we can see first, as we increase the proportion of blue to red radiation, with or without the inclusion of green radiation, the plants got smaller, lighter, with less red pigmentation or anthocyanin production. And this is in accordance with what a lot of researchers have found. But what's interesting here is if you compare the treatments at the same blue photon flux densities without or with green radiation, we saw minimal differences. The plants grown under warm white LEDs looked similar to those grown under red light alone, because warm white LEDs had only about 13% of blue light, with the majority of the photons falling into the green and red regions. The greenhouse control grown plants looked similar to those grown under high blue radiation treatments indoors. Now let's take a look at the data of shoot dry mass plotted against blue photon flux densities without or with green radiation. So the trend here is very straightforward. As we increase the blue photon flux density, shoot dry mass decreased. However, the magnitudes of the decreases were different depending on whether we had green radiation. For example, at the blue photon flux density of 0 or 20 micromoles, the inclusion of green radiation did not influence shoot dry weight. However, at higher blue light, at 60 or 100 micromoles, the inclusion of green radiation decreased shoot dry weight. This showed us that there was an interaction between how lettuce rosé responded to green radiation depending on how much blue radiation was provided. Also in this chart, we can see the data points of plants grown under warm white LEDs indoors as well as in the greenhouse. Pretty high dry mass under the warm white LEDs because they emit a small percentage of blue radiation. And the plants grown in the greenhouse were similar in dry mass compared to the high blue radiation treated plants. Similar trends for shoot fresh mass. And one exception here is that at 20 micromoles of blue radiation, we observed increased shoot flash mass with the inclusion of green radiation. Again, depending on how much blue radiation was delivered, plant responses to green radiation differed. This is a time-lapse video to show you the real-time lattice growth under 20 or 100 micromoles of blue light without or with 60 micromoles of green light in substitution of red radiation. And we can see that even if we provided the same amount of green radiation to blue and red, plant responses were different depending on how much blue light there was. I want to provide another example to highlight the complexity of spectral interactions. Here we have a third of the spectrum as blue radiation with the rest being red, and this is how the plant looks like under this treatment. Now, if we would like to incorporate some green radiation, there are a few ways of doing it. First, we can substitute all of blue radiation with green. Or we can substitute part of both blue and red with green. And lastly, we can substitute part of red with green while keeping blue radiation constant. Even if we add the same amount of green radiation or include the same amount of green radiation, plant responses were different depending on how it was added. And these are how the plant response is under the three spectral treatments. So I think the lesson here is that sometimes it's not only about what is included, but also about how it is included. The spectral background can make a big difference in how plants respond to a specific spectral modification. Now let's take a look at two extreme cases and try to explain our observed growth responses. First, if we take out all the blue and replace it with green, we get larger plants and higher biomass, and the downside is lowered pigmentation or anthocyanin production. When we think about net assimilation, it is actually a product of both net photosynthesis and radiation capture. Based on a lot of the talks, we know that based on the Mercury curve, blue photons and green photons are similar in quantum yields at a low intensity, at least. So we can assume that net photosynthesis might be similar with this substitution. However, as we decrease the proportion of blue radiation, we can induce the shade avoidance response, which can enable the plant to grow larger leaves to capture more radiation. Therefore, the increased yield with this green radiation substitution might be a result of mainly radiation capture increases. On the other hand, when we keep high blue radiation constant and substitute part of red with green, we observed a reduction in biomass accumulation and similar pigmentation in the foliage. We know that green photons are less efficient than red photons at driving photosynthesis, still based on the Mercury curve at a low intensity. And in this case, even though we know that there's a lot of research indicating green radiation can be a shade signal to induce shade avoidance responses, we did not observe increased leaf expansion with the incorporation of green radiation. And that's probably due to the fact that there was a lot of blue there already, which can suppress the role of green radiation in modulating shade avoidance. And this is similar to what Haijie Do from Texas A&M reported 2 days ago. So in this case, the reduction in the biomass from the inclusion of green radiation might be a result of decreased net photosynthesis. Next, we also quantified the elemental concentrations in lattice tissues under five indoor lighting treatments, as well as the control treatment. So for nitrogen, increasing the proportion of blue increased nitrogen concentration. For potassium, the concentration was similar under all indoor lighting treatments and was lower in the greenhouse control. Magnesium showed a similar response to nitrogen with increasing blue radiation, magnesium concentration increased in some cases, and it was highest in the greenhouse control. And for sulfur, again, in some cases, increasing blue radiation increased sulfur concentration. And now when we look at some micronutrients, we can see that for manganese, the concentration was similar under all five indoor lighting treatments and was the lowest in the greenhouse control. Zinc showed an increase in the concentration with increasing blue radiation. And in all these cases, we observed minimal effects of green radiation when added to red and blue. And next, we have copper, which the concentration of which increased with increasing blue radiation, and it was highest under the greenhouse control. And finally, for molybdenum concentration, it was similar under all five indoor treatments and was lower in the greenhouse control. We also took the plants grown under these six different treatments to do a consumer-oriented sensory analysis to look at how consumers thought the taste of these plants. We quantified the overall acceptability, appearance, color, texture, flavor, and aftertaste based on a 9-point Likert scale, with 1 being dislike extremely and 9 being like extremely. First, we have the overall acceptability, which was similar under all indoor lighting treated plants and was lower in the greenhouse control. And this is the same trend for a lot of other parameters in the sensory analysis, which is very interesting. And I have to mention that the greenhouse control provided about 19 to 20 moles per square meter per day of light during the experiment, whereas the indoor treatments provided 13 moles per square meter per day of light. So more light in the greenhouse, but it didn't necessarily translate into higher growth rates. And for appearance, no difference among all the treatments. The same trend for color and minimal differences among the treatments for leaf texture perceived by the consumers. And next, we have the overall flavor, which was similar under the plants grown under the five indoor treatments, and it was lower in the greenhouse control. Similar trends for the aftertaste, which was lower in the greenhouse treated plants compared to the indoor ones. And to think about how we can explain the data between plants grown indoors and in a greenhouse, we also quantified some specific quality attributes in terms of flavor. And we used a 5-point Likert scale, with 1 being low and 5 being high, to quantify the bitterness, sweetness, whether the product met consumers' expectations, and whether they were willing to buy the product. So for bitterness, we observed a low bitter taste intensity under all the indoor treatments, and the bitterness was higher in the greenhouse control. Conversely, we observed the opposite trend for sweetness. In general, the consumers did not prefer the bitter taste in fresh produce. So that's something to keep in mind when growing plants. Even though we have nice foliage coloration, consumers might not necessarily like the flavor. And the same trend with whether the product met expectations and how willing they were to buy the product. Lower ratings for the greenhouse treated plants compared to the indoor ones, and no light quality effects on all these parameters. So in conclusion, lettuce growth, morphology, and coloration were mainly influenced by the blue photon flux density with or without green radiation, and we observed a very interesting interaction between green radiation and blue photon flux densities. And next, increasing blue radiation increased the concentrations of several mineral elements. The ones I did not mention here were not influenced by light quality. And lastly, the sensory attributes or consumer preferences were mainly were unaffected by indoor light quality, and consumers found greenhouse-grown plants to be less acceptable compared to the indoor counterparts. And with that, I would like to thank you for staying until the last talk, the last controlling environment section, And I would also like to acknowledge our partners, our funding agencies, and now I'd like to take any questions. Yep. So the question was whether the consumers or the panelists knew what plants they were tasting, and the answer was no, it was a blind taste test. And the methodology was reported by Kelly Waters in her talk 2 days ago. We used the same lab in collaboration with the MSU sensory lab. Yeah. So the question, I think,
the green, when you, why is it substitution? You're taking out red for blue, so you reach a total of 180.
Mm-hmm.
Why is 180 a magic number? Why is it not additive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the question was why I chose to substitute part of blue or red with green instead of adding green to the existing photosynthetic active radiation. So the answer was that I wanted to keep the total photon flux density the same, so light intensity would not be a confounding factor when evaluating spectral effects. Question back. So the question was whether I observed any pest issues in the indoor lab or in the greenhouse. The answer is no. Show me one more question.
Yeah, just the way that you measure the, you know, the nutrition, the way like the antioxidant content in the latency, your trial.
So the question was whether I measured the phytochemical concentrations.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in collaboration with Jennifer Bolt and her colleagues at USDA ARS, we sent some samples to get the data of phytochemicals, but we're still in the process of analyzing those data. And eventually wanted to make a correlation between phytochemical accumulation and the consumer preferences of the taste. All right, thank you so much for coming to the session, and have a great day.